You're a 95 BFM, and we're going to listen to an interview. I had the pleasure of catching up with Arjuna Oaks about his debut album, While I'm Distracted, which came out a couple of weeks ago. He's currently based over in London, but originally grew up in Te Tārangi, West Auckland, has studied jazz across Tāmaki Makaurau and Pōneke, and has been in the scene a long time. So it's been a long journey to this album, and I loved catching up with him and hearing more about the creative process and what it's like writing and releasing songs across two countries and through that journey. So we're going to listen to that now. We're going to start with a track called The Love That I Feel. You're on BFM.
Let's try it again. Get that better. Hey, I can still do that better. Wait, hold on. Check these
out. The love that I feel, I hold it in my veins. The crossing of a sacred sea is all that remains.
We're going to talk about While I'm Distracted, which is your debut album. You've released like 7 EPs leading up to this, and you've been making music and in the scene quite a long time. So it must feel like with this being your debut, it's quite a long time coming.
Yeah, yep. It does feel like a long time coming. I think I used a lot of those EPs as a training ground for the album, as a way to learn how to tell a gripping story and, you know, maybe 5 tracks, and then to be able to do it over 16 tracks is, you know, a joy, but of course takes a long time to develop and also resources as well. So I took my time to get there, but I'm kind of happy I did wait, because I'm really proud with how it turned out.
It is a really beautiful record, and it sort of takes you through a lot of like really quite obviously personal and intimate material. So I feel like, yeah, it must have been something that you had to really like work towards, being able to open up that much and create such a vulnerable record.
It's like, it's harder to rationalize sharing it, I guess, than actually opening up, like actually creating the vulnerable music is not the hard part, I guess. That just kind of comes when you expose yourself and you're vulnerable as an artist in any way, even if it's, you know, not music, but any kind of art form. You know, you kind of have to let things go and see what comes out. And it's not easy, but that's kind of the natural part of it. I guess the unnatural part for me is to go, okay, what are other people going to think of this? But I think that, you know, even if you're slightly uncomfortable putting out in the world, I think it's always the best thing to bare your soul. And I mean, that's what the album is ultimately about, is about being messy and being human and being a vulnerable person and fighting for your innocence, fighting for your right to be a person, not a machine, you know?
Yeah, it's really beautiful the way it serves the purpose of the album. Like, I was thinking about that. There's the intro to The Love That I Feel, where the drum fill redone, like, 3 times. And they're like, no, I can do it better than that.
Yeah.
And I just think it's such a cool way to invite listeners into the creative process. How important is that to you, to have your listeners sort of be a part of the stories behind the music as well?
Yeah, with that track, you know, I included the bit with Sam messing up the fill, and I loved it because it was just so human and funny and true to who we are, you know, as people and musicians. And so I love that, and I do love that there's bits where you peek behind the curtain. I also like the fact that you don't necessarily, like, it's good to be transparent, and I try and be as honest as I can through my music, but I also don't, I like, my lyrics are often not very literal. They're quite like, they kind of paint an emotional picture, an emotional landscape, but they don't tell you exactly what exactly to feel. And I like that. I like that ambiguity of it. And I guess that's the beauty, is to be able to pinpoint things in my life and very personal things, but then ultimately they're quite universal because we all go through the same things. And to make it feel like anyone could relate to the songs and to the music and to the experiences. So it's a balancing act of being personal and you know, putting all those kind of personal things in, but also being a little cryptic and having fun with it, mysterious and whatever, you know.
Am I right in thinking that you've done pretty much all of the writing, arranging and producing for this record as well, and pretty much all of your discography, right?
Yes, So I wrote the record and produced it. There's little bits that were written by some of the musicians here and there, but I kind of had the, you know, had the say on it. And it was mixed by my good friend Cullen Moa, also known as Cerebi, who released a beautiful album about a month ago. And he kind of did some production over the top. And we've made a lot of music together. We've produced it together, and I'd say he's more of a technical, like he's a really great in the box producer, but also an amazing songwriter. So I kind of produced this myself and then got him to do extra bits. So usually when there's like little bits of psychedelic stuff in this record, sometimes that's Cerebi.
Being a writer and also arranging and having your sort of jazz background, how do you navigate all that in terms of best serving a song?
I mean, I think the beauty of wearing all those hats for me is that it allows me to express myself in different ways and still express myself authentically, but through different lenses. I also personally like, you know, going from being a front man and being about me, being the artist, and then going to more of a supporting role on someone else's record, because I think it's a really rewarding experience to do both and to have both. And you're ultimately a better collaborator if you know what you want when you're the center of attention. I guess it's trying to not get in each other's way, those different hats, because, you know, I mean, yeah, like you said, I went through jazz school. I studied in Auckland and in Wellington. And, you know, there's a tendency for jazz players to want to overplay, and the musician part of me might want to solo and play lots of complicated the keys lines and things. But my producer hat will come and kind of, you know, tell him off and think about what really the music needs and to take the ego out of it. It's a balancing act. I really enjoy wearing those different hats and using them to build on each other. But I think ultimately the more I do each of everything, the more they become, they just serve the music more. You know, it's less about me and it's more about what I'm trying to say and to get people and myself to feel. That's really, really rewarding.
It's a cool thing to be able to wear all those hats and then humble the jazz musician and yourself with the producer hat.
Yeah, I still play too much sometimes, you know. I think I've learned a lot of lessons through my collaborators with like Cerebi, and then also working with John Psathis, especially with him, about, you know, trying to really serve the music and not make it about you. It's not what you think the music needs. It's about, you got to listen to the music and it will tell you what it needs.
I'm curious, when you sort of are building such a rich sort of sonic landscape, is there a really strong vision from the get-go of, I want all of these layers and I want it to feel and sound like this? Or is it just keep adding stuff and exploring and experimenting until it's sort of like, okay, that's enough?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely more of a throw paint on the wall kind of musician or kind of artist. You know, I think there's some people who have it all figured out in their head and then they go and do it, and I think that's amazing, but I'm definitely not that kind of creative. I'm much more of a see what sticks, and I like that. I like that process because it always surprises me. I always want to try and find things that like a mistake that I make that then makes me think about it in a different way and surprise myself in that way. And it's never about perfection for me. I think the language of the album developed, you know, I think that big, wide, cinematic sound of the record was developing whilst I was writing the songs, whilst I was figuring out what the record was about. And it just made sense for the themes in the record. You know, it's about, a lot of it is about existentialism and depression and social media and hope and vulnerability and these big kind of inner things that do feel quite, when you're a young person, they do feel quite epic and cinematic and crazy and overwhelming.
A lot of these songs were sort of written quite a long time ago, right? Like while you were still based in New Zealand and now you're in London. So how did it feel like translating those songs to different times and places through the process?
So yeah, I started writing some of these songs back in 2019, like 6 years ago. And I kind of slowly developed them while I was doing other projects and those other EPs. And then I fully finished the album. I produced it over a year, and then I fully finished it just before I left, so about a year and a half, nearly 2 years ago. the interesting thing is that I've been sitting on it for that long, but the music still feels really true to who I am in that movie, even though I've changed quite a lot in the last kind of 18 months living in the UK, and my life is very different to what it was. I kind of feel like I was almost writing for my future self in a way. Quite a few of those songs were kind of mantras, especially a song called "Won't Let This World Break My Heart" was very like, I think as when I started living in London and going through everything I went through here, I was like, oh, that's what that song is about.
Arjuna Oaks, "Won't Let This World Break My Heart" is the name of this song, a song he says has become a bit of a mantra, even though he wrote it before he moved to London. Learning from the new songs on his album, While I'm Distracted, which is out everywhere now. Thank you, Arjuna, for a lovely kōrero. You're listening to 95BFM.
This place is taught me to not.